Hello and welcome to Table Talk, a now monthly special presentation here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We thank you for being with us today. I'm Dick Russ, your host for the next hour, and we're very pleased to welcome our special guest, His Grace, Bishop Milan Locke, S.J., of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. Bishop, welcome to our radio station again, and welcome to Table Talk, our special program.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Christ is risen, Christos voskrese.
Indeed is risen, voistino voskrese.
So in this Easter season, Bishop, would you please begin our discussion today with a prayer.
Christ is risen from the dead, by dead he trampled dead, and to those in the tombs he granted life. Christ is risen from the dead, by dead he trampled dead, and to those in the tombs he granted life. Christ is risen from the dead, by dead he trampled dead, and to those in the tombs he granted life.
Christos voskrese.
Voistino voskrese.
So this is the traditional greeting in the Eastern Catholic churches. Christ is risen, indeed he is risen. And Bishop, it puts the focus then on the central aspect of our faith, that is the living Christ, who, as in the hymn you just sang, by death he trampled death, or by death he conquered death, and to those in the tombs he granted life. What a beautiful saying for anyone to reflect upon in the Easter season.
So all our hymns, all our, you know, the text of the Byzantine tradition is fulfilled with, really with this truth about Jesus, who is, you know, the winner above the death, that paradoxically by his own death, so he trampled death forever. Not only for some moment 2,000 years ago, and all Christians after him are suffering. Yes, we are suffering, but we as a Christians in our baptism, we died to this world, to this life. Not in sense to be as a, you know, some zombie. No, as a people with hope and with faith and with love, that every day we are invited to die our selfishness. I see that this is our problem. This is a big our problem that we need every day, you know, to die. And this is also, you know, one dimension we will speak about this, about the Eastern spirituality theology, that, you know, this spirit of repentance is fulfilled in all services as a liturgical, you know, the center, because liturgy in Byzantine theology tradition is all. Liturgy is all. Liturgy is catechesis. Liturgy is, you know, explanation. Liturgy is theology. Liturgy is a place for, maybe we can say, emotions. But especially liturgy is a meeting with God, with also dimensioned eschatology, that, you know, is a sky, heaven on earth. So this is, you know, as a dimension of the Pascha, is a Easter, that, you know, every liturgy is Easter. So for this reason we are singing all liturgy as an expression of joy, not as a, you know, something to as an intellectual reflection, as, you know, some scholar, as a something who is arriving from heart.
Yeah. Sometimes in our culture in the West, we do not recognize, even within the churches, that saving promise of Christ, that he is risen, not was, is, and is with us. And there's such a focus today in some places in Western society on death, or there's nothing after. We have so many new atheists now who believe in nothing, and yet that is completely the opposite of what you and what we believe, say, in the Eastern Catholic churches.
Yeah, I think that really we are living in this, you know, this is a challenge in this Western civilization, we can say, which is dying practically, because without kids, you can survive.
Yeah, that's another aspect of it. The birth rate does not support.
Yeah. Because this is an expression of some idea that, you know, our Christianity really is dying. Because, you know, something we are not enough witnesses for this world. Mm-hmm. Because I think that we need to have hope and the perspective and the hope and in future. Also, if maybe we see also our communities, they are shrinking, but come on, we are here. Jesus Christ died for us, and He rose up for us. We have future. It's not dimension as a business, you know, your business, you have not people, human resources, so you're going to, you know, so you need to close your business company, and after will be bankrupt, and church is not business company. Church is, Jesus is a bridegroom, yes. And church is
His bride.
His bride.
Yes.
This is a dimension. This is, should be a
living. It's a living entity.
Yeah. So, you know, something that is a bride. St. Paul, in one of their letters, he's describing this, Ephesians, letter of the Ephesians, that, you know, the Jesus Christ is, you know, making his bride always more beauty, more with more beauty and beauty. And this is how, you know, on state. So, you know, I think this is on the point of view, the perspective, the viewing, how we are viewing the church. And after always, if we are losing, you know, dimension, this also eschatological and maybe this Christological, after really indeed remain the church institution as a business company with loss, without income, and after we are crying, and so, but it is a wrong perspective. And if we are seeing, you know, the church on this, also in our parishes, only this perspective from point of view of money, it's a completely wrong. We don't understand what does it mean really, church, that, you know, from, you know, the side of Jesus on the cross, when the, you know, the soldiers, you know, the put, you know, with copy, with
the lance, yes.
to his side. Fathers of the church are telling that, you know, from his side was, you know, the blood and water. So two sacraments was birthed on the cross, the baptism and Eucharist. And this is, you know, maybe the question, how we are living our baptism. This is our perspective also in Western civilization, if you know, it was remain as a formalism, as a folklore, as a something what we have too. But indeed, we need to come back maybe in some kind of forms of catechumenism for catechumens, we again, you know, to think and to, you know, to discuss and to pray about our faith and about our baptism. That is, baptism, you know, is this dying for this world, for, you know, this idea, for devil, for his acts. And this is a challenge for us also today to, you know, really to also communicate about this, also, for example, through your radio program, and to speak about this. Come on. We need to, you know, have future, and we have future. So we need a little bit, maybe, you know, more in contact with Jesus.
Yeah. And in the Easter season, this is the perfect time to talk about that living reality.
Yeah.
Bishop, you are the Eparch, the Bishop of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma, which is located here in Northeast Ohio. How long have you now been in the United States, here in the Cleveland area?
So I arrived the first time officially right now here 2 years ago in 2017. It was July 18th.
So nearly 2 years?
Yeah, nearly 2 years.
And you came directly from Slovakia?
From Slovakia, from Eastern Slovakia, where I was in Archeparchy of Prešov. I was 4 years auxiliary bishop. so I was bishop also before, with some perspective, with some experience. As auxiliary bishop is a little bit different. As a bishop, you know, if you are in charge with all, also, you know, with all these, you know, challenges, because also in Slovakia, culture in Slovakia is, we can say, secularized. And I'm telling always them, also to bishops, you know, there, you are waiting only this way from United States. It's not, you know, arrived there. It's arriving. Be careful and be prepared. And listen also your brothers, bishops and believers in United States, what they are surviving here. Because a couple of minutes and hours, it will be in Slovakia. So, you know, this is the night of the church. You know, the church is the kataholon kosmon, Catholic, kataholon kosmon, around all of the world. That we as a brothers and sisters, we could encourage each other. We are not divided. You know, ocean is not the space of division. It's space for connection. So we are as a brothers and sisters, and we can share our experience. So I think that many, you know, issues, many experience from here, our brothers in Slovakia, could, you know, to accept and to be inspired. As a vice versa, from Slovakia also, you know, can, you know, this especially they experience from persecution time of communism, when, you know, was really faith was, you know, the strength and more, with witnesses, our bishops, our priests, our monks, and also our believers, to be as a richness also for our brothers here and sisters in the United States. This is my, yes, perspective. So I was before the Jesuit priest, before my ordination, 2013. So I was normal Jesuit, you know, I wanted to serve as a priest, as a religious in community. I lived 18 years in community, Jesuit community. So from my beginning, from a novitiate in Slovakia, 1995, 2 years, and after, before I was 3 years in seminary, in diocesan seminary. Mm-hmm. And after novitiate, I finished my studies in Bratislava, our Jesuit seminary. And after ordination 2001, I was as an assistant for, and also pastoral assistant for 3 years in Košice in Eastern Slovakia. And from 2004, I was for my studies, postgraduate study in Rome, until 2009 on Pontificate Oriental Institute in Rome. And I lived in the Rusikum Pontifical College, Russian College. So this is, and after my comeback 2009, I was 3 years in Slovakia, again 4 years, couple of years in Košice as a leader director of the Center of Spirituality East-West, and after they invited me in Bratislava to be as a vice dean of theological school, Jesuit theological school for 1.5 years, and afterwards was nominated for bishop.
And here you are.
And I'm here with us
in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah.
And very interestingly, your grandfather was born in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
What an interesting story.
Oh, yeah. You know, because I listened a couple of, you know, complaints to me that, what do you want from Europe? You're arriving here. I said, be careful. I have origins here in the United States. So, you know, to me, want me slowly to say about this if I'm, you know, from Europe. Because my grandfather was after their weddings with my grandmother. They lived from Austro-Hungarian Emperor in 1902, I think. Mm-hmm. And for 10 years they were here in Illinois, in Oglesby, on the west from Chicago, southwest from Chicago, 80 miles. So, and there they were working there on mines.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there they have born 3 kids.
Including your father.
Yes.
Your grandfather.
My grandfather. So, yeah. One of them was, you know, my grandfather, but also I knew his brother because he lived in my village when I was growing. So I know many also these, you know, these issues from here. So it was for us also from one side also as a interesting to know that my grandfather was born in the United States, but he was so small, two-year-old guy. He come back, so he don't remember.
He didn't remember much.
No, yeah. Maybe he has more we know from his brother and something from his his father. But it was for me as a one small, you know, the curiosity maybe is, so, you know, one story what I remember always, and I'm repeating in my mind, that I was, you know, the small boys and guy kids, they are, you know, curious. So at one time I opened, you know, the one furniture, you know, the one box, and where was, you know, the ID of my grandfather.
His ID card.
Yeah, ID card, but his communistic ID card, mm-hmm. You know, all yes. ID cards in communism were in red. So when I one time, you know, opened this ID card and saw, you know, what is right here, you know, this, I was always curious about, you know, these writings.
Yes.
And was there, and I see date and place of birth was United States. Illinois, Oglesby. What does it mean? I asked after mom, what does it mean? My grandpa was born in United States. Oh yeah, you know, yes, he was born in United States, and as a small guy, he come back with him with his parents, you know, United States, in Slovakia, and they after both, you know, the fields as a farmers, and they farmed. So yes. This is from one side, from other side, but from father side, also my grandfather was here twice in Chicago for save money.
And went back.
Yeah, and went back to buy fields,
yes.
You know, for farmers, because in mountains, can you imagine mountains to make farmer?
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. So, you know, but really, United States, where for many people, actually, what I know in Slovakia, as a, you know, one resource to save money and to buy fields to make his life more honest. But what happens after, in 1950, communism.
Yes.
Took all this property. So, you know, this is a communism. This is this left idea. Who I surprise, are present on colleges in United States. I was very sad with this, because if you want know what does it mean communism, come on, go for 2 weeks in Cuba and go to listen to these guys in these houses, how they are living. And after your ideas, left and Marxistic ideas, what is a happy and how is a funny and nice. After my experience, maybe later we will have time, I can share with you the experience from communism, because the communism was, you know, come down
yes.
when I was teenager,
you grew up
16,
with it. Yes.
So
yes.
I know what does
yes.
it mean, the consequences,
yeah.
all. So, but yeah. maybe later.
All right, well, we're going to continue our discussion with Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus, the Bishop of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma here in Northeast Ohio. And when we come back, Bishop, we'll talk about how large your eparchy. It covers a huge area. And we thank you for joining us for this special edition of Table Talk. I'm your host, Dick Russ. And as we move to our first break here, we want to have some of the sounds from one of the choirs from one of Bishop's churches. And he's brought some of that music with us. So as we take a listen to that, we'll take a short break and be back with more right here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Special edition of Table Talk here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Appropriately, we have some sounds from the Byzantine Catholic Church, the Ruthenian Byzantine Catholic Church, because our guest today is His Grace, Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus, who is the bishop, the eparch of the Eparchy of Parma. Bishop, thanks again for being with us today. We've had a very good discussion so far. Tell us about your diocese, your eparchy. It covers much of the Midwest of the United States. How big is it, and how does a bishop in Parma deal with this big area of both of people, parishes, priests, and so on.
Maybe from beginning, I would like maybe to introduce, you know, all our church, Byzantine Catholic Church of Ruthenians in the United States, that we are creating the Metropolitan Church Sui Juris Byzantine Catholic Church in the United States. So it's an independent unit who is directly, you know, to how to succeed to a congregation of Eastern Catholic Churches in Rome, so in to Vatican. So on the head of this church is His Grace Archbishop Metropolitan William Skurla,
who's based in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's right? Based. So this is a seat. Yes, also this is a seat of one of these our eparchies, diocese, archeparchy of Pittsburgh, who is covering Pennsylvania and after south until Texas. It's the one eparchy. So from this eparchy was divided in 1963, eparchy of Passaic, so it's in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yeah, so it's the second our eparchy, who is covering all east coast from north to Florida. So, and after, in 1969... So
exactly 50 years ago.
Yeah, exactly 50 years ago, in February 21st, was created third eparchy of Parma Ruthenians, for reason, because for creating the Metropolitan Church, Sui Juris, you need three dioceses, three eparchies.
Ah.
So this was the reason. And it was, you know, covered from Ohio... Not all Ohio, because one part of, you know, Warren and 10 parishes were belonging to Archeparchy of Pittsburgh, but from here, practically more or less from here to California, was created one Eparchy of Parma. So can you imagine what happened for
from
this
Ohio
bishop?
To California?
Yeah, for first bishop, Bishop Emil Mihalik, was created as the first bishop. After later, in 1968, was created fourth eparchy in Venice,
California.
California, yeah. Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So, and after was moved in Arizona, in Phoenix. So this was created fourth
eparchy. So there are four eparchies of the Ruthenian Catholic Church in the United States.
Yeah, they covered all United States, all 50 states.
And how many states now in the Eparchy of Parma?
So, Eparchy of Parma has 12 states, actually from Ohio, from here to Nebraska, and to South Dakota.
Have you been to all of these yet?
No, yet.
No,
no,
okay.
No. No, actually, we are present from these 12 states in 9 states, with parishes or with the outreaches, with the missions. So we are not present in North and South Dakota, and I think in Nebraska, we have another state, third state that I know where we are, that we have, you know, the in Kansas. Mm-hmm. We are in Kansas, also belonging to me, but we are not in Kansas.
Mostly still. Probably places where people who immigrated from Eastern Slovakia who came to the United States for economic reasons or whatever, freedom reasons, and they settled. And you could see Parma, Cleveland, Chicago, Western Indiana,
Detroit,
all these metropolitan places where they went.
Yes, we can say that, you know, one of the oldest parishes in Minneapolis, in Minnesota. Minneapolis is a little bit sad, famous parish because, you know, there was divided, you know, it was created Orthodox Church of OCA, or, you know, Carpathian Greek Catholic Russian Orthodox Church. So after, as you know, this story about, you know, that we were forbidden from Archbishop Ireland of Minneapolis to have married priest. So this is, you know, a little bit a sad story of part of Greek Catholic United States.
Who mostly belongs to these churches now? Is mostly people, I would say, I would guess, born in the United States because the church has been here for one century, maybe, something?
Yes, more or less, yes. From, we can say that, you know, the beginnings of the you know, the presence of Eastern Catholics, Greek Catholics, Byzantine Catholics of these traditional Ruthenians were present from first parish, you know, this Minneapolis, is from 1886.
Oh, so 125, almost 130, 40, 50 years now. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a majority of people, practically all, they are citizens of the United States, so they were born here. A couple of them, they are arrived as immigrants in last one in 1968, and a couple of them in 1990. But it knows, you know, it's a little bit different, because if also today somebody is arriving in the United States, more or less they're arriving in New York, L.A., yes, you know, California, Chicago, so, but no here. And also, you know, the situation in Europe is more, how to say, people prefer go more, you know, in Western Europe, in Germany for work, for England, as in Italy, as maybe, you know, in the United States.
Yes. So the Ruthenian, you say, Byzantine Catholic Church is well established in the United States.
Yeah.
Would you say in your eparchy, what is this, and this is a, we have some questions from people listeners, what is the situation, Bishop, with the younger members of the church? Are you able to keep younger people as members of the Byzantine Catholic Church? Is there some successful model to keep the younger people?
So, you know, situation in our congregations is that, you know, these younger people is less. So majority, if I visited all our parishes, you know, during these 2 years just, so majority of the parishes, they are 60 up. We have some congregations, there are more kids, for example, in Chicago, in Homer Glen Parish, so they are the present kids. And also, a couple of kids, they are everywhere. So I understand that, you know, the situation that, you know, it's everywhere, this problem, you know, the secularization that, you know, the middle generation and younger generation, even I believe they are, as a, you know, canonically, as a Greek Catholics, Byzantine Catholics, they are no more, you know, the visiting the churches. They are not practicing their faith. We can see, is for example, on Easter, that, you know, they are for blessing baskets, they are arriving more. But, as you know, it's a formal. It's a nice, a good that they are arriving, but, you know, it's not a living faith. So, as some model, the model is clear. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the gospel who invite us to, you know, to live our faith and to share our love and to live every day and to open our hearts to Christ, to invite Him, and to don't think that we don't need the God in our life.
This is part of another question that one of our listeners sent to us, and you spoke about it a little bit at the beginning of our program, Bishop Lach. What would I find in one of your parishes in the Byzantine Ruthenian Catholic Church that is different, say, from the Roman or a Latin Rite Catholic Church? What would I find that is different? What would attract me to one of your parishes? What would you say, Bishop Milan?
So, you know, the Eastern spirituality, the Byzantine spirituality, you know, is more focused on the biblical point of view for spirit. And, you know, it's connected with third divine person, the Holy Spirit, that, you know, all liturgy, all, you know, the theology is, you know, Trinitarian. For this reason, also practically, many times we are make sign of cross with three hands, and, you know, as a Trinity, and another two hands, there are, you know, two natures of Jesus, divinity and his human nature. And so these signs are very often, you know, signs of cross on our body during the liturgy. It's expression this Trinitarian, you know, dimension that, you know, all we have live, we have our life rooted in the Holy Trinity, in God. So what is different? So especially liturgy. So if you want to see, welcome to visit us. All our services are in English completely. We have only three places, you know, in all eparchy, this 29 congregation where we have actually, where we are celebrating in all Slavonic. 1 month on the Saturday evening is a St. Mary here in Cleveland, if you want, all Slavonic. And after in Detroit, one church, and in Chicago, one church. So all is completely, all our services in English. So you can understand all. So, you know, the liturgy, you know, the temple of God, as you know, the church is, you know, the expression of our life, and also, you know, our, we are as a pilgrims, you know, to going on our, you know, destination, this promised land, which is, you know, heavenly kingdom. So all liturgy is, you know, the focused, you know, on this dimension, that all the sanctuary is divided by icon screen. So icons, they are playing very important, you know, not only aesthetical, but theological, you know, dimension. Because, you know, icons, as an icon as a your as well, they have to help, you know, to believer, to, you know, also, you know, to resolve the sense by visual forms, with visual forms, you know, the presence of God.
Yeah, the Eastern Catholic milieu or approach is very much to the senses, to the sound, yeah, the choir, yeah, the chant, as you said, visually, the, yeah, icons, yeah, to see things which become then the window, or the window to other things that are heavenly, and even the smells, the incense, and all, yeah, of this experience, and you say it's all focused as this pilgrimage to the, yeah, heavenly kingdom.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, as you know, we can say that, you know, by all our senses we lose, you know, that this presence with God after the consequence of the sin of the first people. Also, all our senses, all our five senses are invited to be consecrated to, we are speaking about divinization, divinized by presence of God. So for this reason, you know, as I said, the icons for visual, for, you know, the chant, many chants, you know, as I said, all liturgy is singing for by our ear. But it's not as a, you know, melodies, as maybe, you know, the empty words, but it's a theology. All, you know, the hymns were created on the base of fathers of the church who really were well prepared in the theology, but also this, you know, maybe sometimes difficult, you know, the truth were translated in hymns, in poetry.
These things would seem to be, Bishop Milan, very attractive to some young person who is seeking,
yeah,
a truth, right?
Yeah, of course, because, you know, really, you know, it's something, you know, because this truth is, how to say, is you can say a little bit hidden in, you know, in these hymns.
Yes.
In this liturgy, in the theology, in these services. Mm-hmm. So, you know, also the incense, you know, you have incense, you have, you know, these lights, and you have also, you know, the bowing, for example, kneeling during, the, for example, the Great Lent.
Prostration.
So, you know, all body, you know, is absorbed in this liturgy in sense that you are present. You can't escape. If you are one time, you know, this presence of God, really, you know, you need to feel that, you know, that you are not, you know, something as a alone, and as a community, as a brothers and sisters. So we can say that also, you know, there's this, you know, this expression, the heaven on earth. This is, you know, the church of Eastern Church, you know, Eastern Byzantine Church, Catholic Church, and Orthodox Church, as you know, the Eastern on Church. Maybe many of people will ask, why, you know, why the Orthodox? So we are, you know, Orthodox in sense that we, you know, we preserve all, you know, this Eastern tradition, but we are with unity with Holy Father. And this is, you know, your radio is rock side, you know, the St. Peter. So the first Pope. So, and we are united with this Pope just more than 400 years. What I wanted to say that, you know, that you need to have experience. We can, you know, to theorize, theoretically, to speak about this. You need to have, you know, experience, personal experience with this. And after, maybe you can maybe slowly, you know, to understand also what does it mean, you know, to be Byzantine Catholics.
This sounds like an invitation from,
yeah,
you, Bishop,
course,
to come and
of
come
course
and see.
Come on, come and see. And after your, you know, experience, you can make, you know, your conclusion, your evaluation about maybe this. And maybe will be more and more, you know, you will find another new questions, why and what, and so slowly we can to explain.
So let us continue our conversation with Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus here on a special edition of Table Talk on AM 1260 The Rock, after we hear some of the sounds from the Divine Liturgy in the Byzantine Ruthenian Catholic Rite. And we'll be back after a very short break and hope you'll stay with us for more of Table Talk. Welcome back to this special edition of Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Our special guest in studio is His Grace Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus, who is the bishop, the eparch of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. We've been talking with Bishop for most of the last hour about his eparchy, about his personal story, about Eastern spirituality and so on. And Bishop, we were talking about how the Byzantine Catholic Church, just like the Roman Catholic Church, is challenged today to keep young people, to attract young people. This is a universal thing, not only in the United States, but throughout the West and throughout the world. But there is some good news about young people that I wanted to share and to talk to you about. You have a place in just east of here in Burton, Ohio, called Christ the Bridegroom Monastery. It's part of a larger grounds there known as the Shrine of Our Lady of Maria Poch, very Eastern. But there are now a number of young women there who are joining the religious life in this particular monastery, and every year another one or two join. This must be very encouraging, and it's not a secret anymore. It is, I think, a bright light in terms of attracting young people and keeping them in the church. Tell us more about this monastery and what is so attractive now to the young women who are dedicating their lives to the church.
Yeah, so it's something amazing, really, you know, to have, you know, this is a practically unique, yes, maybe two are monastery in all United States, Eastern Catholic women monastery, really as a, from this, following this Eastern tradition, Eastern Christian tradition. This monastery is not so, we can say, so old, because the first was these 10 years where, you know, in this month that we know two of them, they arrived, you know, in Burton. So officially, you know,
only about 10 years old.
Yeah. So the monastery, officially, they are not approved as established. So we are waiting, and either, you know, we are waiting a few, maybe a couple of months that will be, you know, officially, you know, established. As you know, canonically, you know, because must be, you know, correlated with canon law, yes. Eastern Catholic churches. So, but what is there, you notice this atmosphere of the prayer. So, if you are present there, really you see that it's not something as a fake, or something, you know, formal. It's something, you know, if you see, you know, young man, a woman, you know, to pray. So, this is something, or to put, you know, question why, how sense has, you know, day life today? They could maybe to do some career, because majority of them have finished, you know, the university, the colleges, and they are there, we can say, closed, forgotten by world, but really they are busy. They are busy, you know, because really in monastery, many of people, they have, you know, imagine that these monks and the nuns, they don't know nothing, and they don't doing nothing, anything, only they pray. But it's wrong. So if you want to see what does it mean, monastic life, really, Eastern monastic life, come on, we'll come to go, you know, to Burton. They have, you know, also their webpage, www.bridegroom.com. So, and you can, you know, invite to see, and they also, you can go there also for a couple of days in silence to live alone. They, you know, prepare some rooms, pustinya, the name is, you know, that you can be there and to stay with him, to pray with him. It's a nice nature there, forest. You can, you know, to maybe because you can to stop. This is a problem of today. We need to stop.
We're all so busy, aren't
we? Yeah, everybody, we are busy. I'm busy also too, you know. I'm thinking also to just, you know, danger during prayer, you know, what I need to do. It's wrong. So, you know, we are not here for business, for busy, but for God. We need to leave the presence of God. And this is another aspect, dimension of the Eastern theology and spirituality, to live in presence in God. And what is, you know, to help you? This Jesus prayer. So this is something that, you know, the O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. To be present that Jesus Christ is always with me. But my position to God is how, in humility, to be meek. Have mercy on me. I have to know my position. That I need to repentance. Because many people also today, they think also in the United States, everywhere, they have not sinned.
We have all the answers.
They are yes. I said, you know, it's enough, you know, put you on an altar. You are saint.
There is no sin.
So, right. You know, if you not sin, you, nobody have sinned. You know, they have not, you know, to go, you know, confession. I said, come on, guy. I encourage you also from this side. Come on, go to holy confession. Go to, you know, receive this grace. It's gratis. You can't pay anything. But don't to think that you can go, you know, weekly, you know, on Holy Communion with a confession. This is wrong. And this is, you know, really what is a challenge, one of challenges for me also here to, you know, to let understand to people and our believers that really, you know, that, you know, that we need really live ecclesial life as a church life. It's not enough to go a week at church and give a couple of dollars and I think that I'm best, you know, the believer and the Catholic. It's wrong. How is your life? How is your life after you're returning from this divine liturgy of this holy mass? This is, you know, secularism. We are divided two parts, two sides. Church on Sunday and rest 6 days. That is wrong. We are Christians everywhere. And we need to leave the church and liturgy in our houses. We need to pray with our kids, with our parents, with our siblings, every day in our houses. I ask you, how many times you are praying together with your wife, with your husband, with your kids? They are 5 minutes a day. How many times you offer, you know, to watching TV? 5 minutes? More? How much? 3 hours? 4 hours? And you can, you know, check your Christianity. That is a formal, maybe to proclaiming, to complaining, how is our bishops, our priest, how is our Catholic Church? But as a first, if you are listening and reading the Gospel, as a first, try to, you know, to put in order yourself. And this is a challenge. And this is, you know, the also results and fruits of the Easter. We need to live in trust, in truth. It's easy, you know, to speak about another's and to evaluate another's. Come on in your life to auto-evaluate yourself and to maybe to say, yes, in this maybe I'm wrong, I need to change. Everybody can, you know, make mistake. Everybody can fall. But this is, you know, the demonic to think that, you know, everything is okay. It's not okay. Our life will be okay only with Christ, with God, with Jesus Christ. And church, our presence, we are here for this reason. It's not important numbers. Important is the quality of life that we really, if we are prepared to enter in heavenly kingdom. So this is how maybe come back the sense of monasticism. Because monasticism, Eastern monasticism, is one important part of this Eastern Catholic, Byzantine Catholic tradition, because this monasticism as a monastic life is is viewed as an image of the church, and also, you know, is a as a something, you know, this life of Holy Trinity present, you know, here on in community with as a monks or as a nuns together, as a ecclesially as a brothers and sisters, but also, you know, as a witnesses of this eternal life. They are as a virgin consecrated to witnesses, as a witness of Jesus, that, you know, on the future, as Jesus said, you know, heavenly kingdom will be no married, no couple. We will be, as you know, everybody with Christ.
This discussion with Bishop Milan Lach here began when we talked about one of the encouraging aspects of young people in the Catholic Church today, and that is Christ the Bridegroom Monastery. So we're going to take a quick break here, Bishop Milan, and want to remind our listeners that if you want to learn more about this, it's called Christ the Bridegroom Monastery in Burton, Ohio. Check it out and reflect upon that as you have the life of monasticism, and learn more about what it is in the Eastern or Byzantine Catholic Church that has become very attractive to young people. You're listening to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, a special program with His Grace Bishop Milan Lach, Society of Jesus, the Eparch of the Eparchy of Parma. We're going to return with some final comments after we take this quick break, and hope you'll stay with us, and we'll have more sounds from the Byzantine Catholic Church here on AM 1260 The Rock. And welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Dick Russ. Our special guest, His Grace Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus. He is the Bishop of the Eparchy of Parma, the Byzantine Ruthenian Catholic Eparchy of Parma. Bishop, we've had a great discussion for the last hour. We only have a couple of minutes left. We've talked about Easter, and you've wrapped everything you've said basically today around that Easter message of the risen Christ, very important, central to the Eastern theology. But we're also now approaching, only some days away, the Ascension of Christ, which is a very important day for all Catholics, and then the coming of Pentecost. And in the last couple of minutes, I'd ask you to please close with these reflections.
So what's happened in Ascension, you know, it was in after 40 days of revelation of Jesus as a rose up, as a after his resurrection, he's officially say goodbye to disciples. We know this news from the gospel. But what does it mean? Does it mean that it was just for definitely, you know, his goodbye for them? No. Does it mean his presence is for us, to us forever? And this is, you know, the invitation also for us, also for this reflection of this feast and also Pentecost, because, you know, where was birth, you know, the birthday, you know, the church in the and the ascension, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, without Holy Spirit, we can do anything, you know, in our Christian life. As I said, you know, also in this Eastern Byzantine Catholic spirituality, Byzantine spirituality theology, the Holy Spirit is a substantial. You know, all these, you know, epiclesis, what we have, you know, this convocation, the Holy Spirit in all sacraments, especially, you know, the Eucharist, but also the blessings, you know, the holy gifts, etc. So I want to maybe to, you know, to encourage you also maybe in these days, maybe to, you know, to stop at a little bit, you know, to take Holy Gospels in your hands and to read. And also, maybe in these days, I invite you maybe to visit our churches in this feast, because there you can also understand what does it mean also the Pentecost for our church. What does it mean that, you know, the feast of Holy Ascension for our church? So this I would like to maybe to share with you, encourage you, and to really to ask the Holy Spirit. We need to convocate the Holy Spirit in our life. Without this, our life, Christian life will not be spiritual life.
You can learn more about Bishop Lach and about the Eparchy of Parma by going to parma.org, www.parma.org. That is the website of the Eparchy of Parma. Bishop Milan, we're grateful that you came in and shared this hour with us today. We've learned much about the Byzantine Ruthenian Catholic Church, both here and in native Slovakia, about yourself, your remarkable story that brought you here. We wish you success and blessings on the 50th anniversary of your eparchy. And before we leave our special program today, we'd ask you to close with a prayer and your blessing.
Okay, we can pray, you know, the one hymn from our, you know, the Matins, Paschal Easter Matins. Shine, shine, O New Jerusalem, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Dance now and be glad, O Zion, and do thou exalt, O pure Theotokos, in the arising of him whom thou didst bear. The blessing of the Lord be upon you, now and ever and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop Milan Lach. And thank you for listening to this edition of Table Talk here on Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're grateful that you've been with us, and we invite you to let us know what you think. Go to your computer and send us an email, tabletalk@am1260therock.com. Let us know your comments about our program, and if you have any other questions for Bishop Milan Lach or any of our future guests. Thanks again. This is Dick Russ, your host, and we're most appreciative that you are with us today. And once again, thank you to Bishop Milan Lach.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye. Goodbye.